So I'll just read a short passage from Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul says to the people of Athens, "The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God, and perhaps feel their way towards him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. As even some of your own poets have said, for we are indeed his offspring." Just three points. Paul wants people to know that God is the creator. He made the heavens and the earth and everything in it. So as we look up to the heavens, or as we enjoy the beautiful trees around us, everything has been created by God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. But not only that, he also made man. He made all of us human beings. It says in verse 25, he gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man, that's Adam, every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth. So he made man and woman, and he enabled them to be fruitful and to multiply across the earth. And then the third and final point is in verse 26. Paul says, God determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place. So in other words, God not only made man, but he also determined where and when they would live. And so I'm now going to explain a little bit about my own story, because this is part of God's plan. He determined where I would be born and where I would grow up and live. So I'll just share a little bit about my own story now. So I was born in this country, actually. I was born in Leeds, in Yorkshire, my mum went to university there, and my aunt used to work there. So, yeah, we do have some links with Yorkshire. So I was born there, which is brilliant. After I was born, my parents took me back to Hong Kong, so that I grew up in Hong Kong. And this was a real privilege to grow up in a Christian home. Both of my parents are Christians, and they brought me along to a Baptist church in Hong Kong, where I heard the Bible taught, and where I learnt the gospel. And also providentially, at that time it was a Chinese church, so I was able to become familiar with studying the Bible in Chinese, which has turned out to be a real benefit for my ministry at St. John's, as I minister to Hong Kongers and run Bible studies in Cantonese. So in God's providence, this was hugely beneficial. And then after I became a teenager, my parents sent me back to the UK to attend boarding school. And at boarding school, it was a really fun time of meeting lots of new friends, trying out lots of new activities, learning new languages. It was a really formative time, a really good education that I received. But most importantly, I had some Christian teachers who were really distinctive. They were just really kind, really patient, and really warm and welcoming towards people like me who were from overseas. And so that really attracted me to their Christian faith. They invited me along to the Christian group where I think I actually understood the gospel for the first time. I had grown up going to church, but my understanding of Jesus was a bit lacking. It wasn't really clear. I didn't realize that he was actually God's chosen king, and that being a Christian meant surrendering my life to Jesus as my Lord. And so as I grew in my understanding of the gospel, my teachers invited me to attend a summer camp. This was run by a Christian organization. It happened in Norfolk, and there were lots of really fun activities and also lots of great Bible talks where we were exposed to clear gospel teaching. And it was at the summer camp that I prayed a prayer to accept Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And that's the moment when I would start to call myself as a born-again Christian. And being part of the Christian Union at school and being part of this Christian camp laid some really good foundations. I was taught how to read the Bible and to pray each day. I learned what it meant to follow Jesus as his disciple, to take up my cross, to deny myself, and to put others first in sacrificial service of them. I also learned how to tell others about Jesus in a clear and straightforward way. And then after school, I went to university in London, and I joined a really strong Bible teaching church called St. Helens Bishopsgate. And I was exposed to expository preaching, which is what we get here at St. John's as well. The teaching really, I really benefited from this teaching, and I think God used it to grow me in maturity, which was brilliant. And it was also there at St. Helens that I met Tom, our vicar at St. John's. He was running the youth work at that church, and I helped him out for 1 year. So it was great to make that connection whilst we were both in London. And then after university, I trained as an accountant. I don't know if there are any accountants here amongst us. So I did my accountancy exams. I qualified as an accountant. And I worked in London for a few years as an accountant. But I think my passion wasn't really in accountancy. It was more in teaching the Bible and telling people about Jesus. I was serving in word ministry at church whilst I was being an accountant. I was also involved in my accounting firm because they had a Christian union there, and I was able to meet up with my colleagues to study the Bible one-to-one, and I was able to organize events where external speakers would come in and share the gospel with people working at my firm. And I think, I was really interested in doing this as a full-time job. So after a few years working as an accountant, I decided to switch careers, and I took a break from my firm, and I joined St. Helens Church as a ministry trainee to see whether full-time ministry was something that I should pursue in the longer term. And it was through that scheme that I started doing Cornhill. And it was at Cornhill that I met Stephen, our associate vicar here at St. John's. And it was great to be taught by Stephen, who knows the Bible so well. And I was able to gain lots of insights into God's word whilst being taught by him and by the other teachers at Cornhill. And it was also through Stephen, it was also at Cornhill that I met Johnny and Ruth, the Pullers, who were my predecessors here at St. John's as ministry trainees. So we were in the same class at Cornhill, and they actually very kindly invited me to come to St. John's to speak to the internationals. So that's how I really got to know St. John's as a church. It was through Johnny and Ruth inviting me to come. Last year, Stephen Boone also sat down with me and told me that the Pullers were going to leave St. John's and go off to Italy to become missionaries there. And he asked me whether I would be interested in coming to St. John's to take over the international ministry. And I was really excited about this opportunity to come here and serve. And so, and that's why I'm here now. I applied for the job, and God very graciously allowed me to be accepted. And so that's why I'm here today. And I'll just show you a couple of photos now of my family. So yeah, you can see me as a small child over there with my parents. Yeah, must have been in Hong Kong. And then this is a more recent photo of my extended family, my parents. Sadly, my grandparents are no longer alive there with the Lord. But yeah, my uncles, aunts, and cousins. So yeah, I was able to visit them in Hong Kong over Christmas, and it was a lovely time to. And now I'm, before I talk about my ministry here at St. John's, I'd just like to share another bit of scripture. This is following on from what we were looking at in Acts 17. It's the next few verses. I'll just read them. Being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead. So from this passage, Paul tells us that God is not only the creator, but he is also the king. And he commands all people everywhere to repent. Repentance means turning back to God, acknowledging him as the ruler. And God has fixed a day of judgments. It says in verse 31, he has fixed the day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. So this man is, of course, Jesus. One day Jesus will come back, as Roger was praying, one day Jesus will come back to judge the world. And he has confirmed this by raising Jesus from the dead. He has given proof that Jesus will be the judge by raising him from death to life. We celebrated Easter a few months ago, and that is actually God's way of telling the whole world that one day Jesus will come back to judge the whole world. And so this message is what we want to proclaim as the international team at St. John's. We want to let the world know that God calls on everyone in the whole world, whether they are British or Chinese or Russian or wherever they are from, to repent, to turn back to him and to acknowledge Jesus as God's King. Okay, so my ministry at St. John's. As Roger said, I lead the international ministry at St. John's. It's a really great privilege and a great joy as well. We have people from all over the world. Over 100 of them, I would say, from many different countries, including China, Hong Kong, Nigeria, Italy, Japan, Romania, South Africa, Ukraine, and Zimbabwe. So it's a very, very mixed group of people we have here. And of course, the goal is for the whole church, is to know Jesus better and to make him known better, as better known as well. And to that end, we organize different activities. We organize something called Global Cafe, which John and Esther are involved with. It's a great, so good to have you on the team. And we recently ran a barbecue, and Tim was there to help, which was great. We had around 70 guests from all sorts of countries, and we did it in Tom's garden, and we had lots of food. We played some games, and we heard a short talk explaining who Jesus is. If you are someone who prays, it would be great to pray that these guests who don't normally come to St. John's would come back and would reflect on what they heard about Jesus, that they would want to be connected with Jesus and be fruitful. And then we'll be taking a break over the summer, like you will, and then in September Global Cafe will restart again, And we will be focusing on a different country each month. So in September, we will be focusing on Hong Kong, because a lot of people at St. John's come from Hong Kong originally. So it'll be great to learn a little bit more about Hong Kong and to try some snacks from there, and to, yeah, and also to hear a little bit more about Jesus's teaching, actually. So next year, we're going to be going through the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount. So we'll focus on one Beatitude each time. So that's the plan. And then we also run two Cantonese Bible study groups. You might ask, why, you know, Cantonese? Why not just stick with the English? Well, because for a lot of these Hong Kongers, they do find it very difficult to study the Bible in their second language. And so having these studies in Cantonese just makes it a lot easier for them to understand the Bible and to communicate what they think. And so that's why we run these Cantonese Bible study groups. And yeah, we have a mixture of Christians and non-Christians. In the men's group, we have around 6 men. In the women's group, we have around 12 women. We've been going through Mark's gospel in both groups. And Mark is great, isn't it, to really get to grips with who Jesus is and what he's come to do. Jesus, you know, the first verse of Mark says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's exactly what we want to do. We want people to get to know Jesus and his gospel, the good news. And it's been a real blessing to co-lead these groups with other people. So for the men's group, I co-lead the group with 2 other men who are mature, godly Christians. And the same for the women's group, 2 women who are more experienced in the faith. And it's been great to partner together in the gospel, to grow in handling the Bible, to grow in loving one another and looking after our group members. So yeah, it's a real privilege to partner with them. And 4 of these Hong Kongers will be getting baptized in the autumn. So praise God that they have professed faith and they want to make it known publicly that they now follow Jesus. So yeah, that's a real, really good news. And again, if you are someone who prays, we would be delighted if you could pray for the other non-Christians in the groups to profess faith, that as they get to know Jesus better, that they would repent and believe in the gospel. And for the Christians in the groups, please pray that we would all be growing as disciples of the Lord, that we would be increasingly taking up our crosses, denying ourselves and following him. So let me show you a couple of photos now of these group members. Oh, sorry, there, that was the next slide. Yeah, so this is a picture of the Global Cafe barbecue. So John and Esther and Tim were there. Might be 1 or 2 others here who were there as well. We were playing some games here. And yeah, it was a really, really fun evening. And we were able to get to know each other and yeah, and enjoy some really good food and yeah, learn about Jesus. So that was great. And then the picture on the right is a lunch. We had a lunch for the women's group after our final study for the term. And yeah, we went to a Turkish restaurant in town and had a really nice time bonding over lunch. And then finally, we've come to the last part of my talk. This is the final part of Paul's, this is after Paul's speech, and it records the reaction to Paul's speech. So I'll just read these verses. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, but others said, "We will hear you again about this." So Paul went out from their midst, but some men joined him and believed, among whom also were Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Damaris and others with them. So the author of Acts tells us how people responded to Paul's speech in the Areopagus. And it's really interesting, isn't it? There are different types of responses, aren't there? Verse 32 tells us that some mocked. You know, they just laughed. You know, they what? Resurrection from the dead? Completely ridiculous. Dead people don't come back to life. It's a very, typical response that we get nowadays as well, don't we? People will often doubt that Jesus rose from the dead. In fact, we were out yesterday on the streets talking to people about Jesus, and someone said exactly that. You know, we asked them, what did Jesus, who is, where is Jesus? And he said, oh, he's dead. He's in the grave. You know, people do not believe that anyone could come back to life from the dead. And you also get a second group. You have those who want to hear more. But others said, we will hear you again about this. So, yeah, they are curious. They want to find out more. You know, it's quite interesting. And, you know, they want to, learn more about this because it's so new to them. And that's another type of response, isn't it? That you want to learn more about Jesus. And then the third and final response is belief. In verse 34, it says, some men joined Paul and believed, among whom also were Dionysius and Damaris and others. So the third group believe in the message. Yeah. They are convinced that Jesus did rise from the dead, and that one day there will be a judgment, and it now is the time to repent, to turn back to God, to believe in Jesus, so that on judgment day we can be safe. We can enjoy forgiveness of sins and eternal life with God forever. And so the question I have for all of us is, you know, how will we respond to this message of Paul? Will we, just sort of dismiss it? Or will we try and find out more about Jesus? Or will we believe and put our trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior? Thank you so much for listening. Why don't I close us in a short prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the one who created the heavens and the earth, and that we are your offspring, and that you want us to be in relationship with you. Thank you so much that you've sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world, to die for our sins and to be raised on the third day. Thank you so much that if we put our trust in him, we will be safe on judgment day. So please help us to believe in him. And for those of us who want to find out more, please would you grow us in our knowledge of Jesus. And we pray that we would enjoy knowing you as our Heavenly Father through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.